Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change, and first and foremost, a happy Father's Day to my broadcast partner, Bruce Frankel in New York. Happy Father's Day, Bruce.
Thank you so much, Zara. It is indeed going to be a happy one, I hope.
That's great. Always is. You dads, yeah. Are you going to fix something or just kick back and enjoy?
I'm hoping that my three sons will find some time to come and see me, or we'll figure out something to do together. Though my youngest son graduated from high school this week, so we already had one get together. My middle son is a chef, and we had lunch at his restaurant one day, and that was pretty much fun.
You got it. That's great. And of course, we've enjoyed having your other son, who's in the rock music world, also come on the show. Well, Bruce, the memory of experience. You wanted to take us into a pretty provocative subject, I think, tied to a fascinating book by Daniel Kahneman called Thinking Fast and Slow. Take it away.
Well, yeah, I actually want to maybe set the backdrop for why I became fascinated with this book recently and the idea. So one of the things, when I was writing my book, What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life?, and writing the stories and spending time with people who had had very difficult experiences during the first half of their lives and after 60 achieved significant success, I was particularly struck by how few of them actually talked about the difficult things in their lives, mm-hmm. or spent time with remorse or regret, and were so forward-looking, and it was really striking that they were so positively focused, and I began to think about them. And one of the things that that Daniel Kahneman talks about is the primacy of memory and how we are always constructing our narratives of our lives and how important that is to us. And so that's part of what drew me into thinking about this. But I think maybe it's useful, and you tell me a little, mm-hmm. If we step back a second and give some background about Kahneman and his thinking, and then move to what he says about how we construct memory and why we construct it the way we do.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point. I think, again, this whole subject, many times people are frozen by their memories, right? And they're tormented by them, as opposed to, parlaying off of them or moving in new directions. So please, anchor us in Kahneman's own journey.
Yeah, so Kahneman is one of the founders of something called behavioral economics, and he is a winner of the Nobel Prize in economics for his work in something called decision mm-hmm. theory, which he won in 2002. And he's designed a variety of, he and other researchers who have worked with him, notably Amos Tversky, who's passed away, designed disarmingly simple experiments that really have changed the way we think about how we think, and show us very often how little we really understand about our own thinking. And when he writes about thinking fast and thinking slow, basically he and other scientists see two systems of mind within us. One is the part of us that thinks, that answers things, sees things quickly. So we all do this. When we're driving a car and we, out of the corner of our eye, see something that signals danger, we slow down, or we see someone who looks angry, we may avoid them.
Mm-hmm,
we think responsibly and so forth. And thinking slow, on the other hand, some mathematical calculations, some problems in our lives force us to have to step back and work hard at a problem. If I say to you, what's 292 times 337, mm-hmm. you suddenly say, go back and start figuring out how you're going to do the long multiplication on that. If I say to you, what's 2 times 2, you know the answer. Your brain thinks quickly. So, in fact, one of the thought experiments with this is if I say to you, Zara, what, and this has been done to students at MIT and Harvard and so forth, I say to you, Zara, I have a bat and ball. The bat costs me a dollar. If I say to you, I spent $1.10 on a bat and ball. The bat cost me a dollar. How much did the ball cost me? What do you say?
Ten cents.
Yeah, of course, and you're wrong. But don't feel badly about that, because 50% of the students at Harvard, Princeton, and MIT got it wrong, too. The ball's 5 cents. The dollar difference is, so if you take 5 from $1.10, you have $1.05. But that's an example of fast thinking. It's also an example of how we make mistakes and how the smartest of people tend to make as many and more mistakes as others, because we tend to trust our intuition mm-hmm. a great deal, even though our intuition is often wrong.
And so this idea that you've got these multitude of external systems playing at you, as well as internal processing based on experience, is where he's going to take us, isn't he?
Yeah, so that we have lots of things going on that we don't recognize that are going on. We're constantly, so another favorite experiment is Daniel Kahneman had, created a image of a set of eyes and put it over the coffee pot in office. Mm-hmm. And one day it would be this set of eyes, and they did different sets of eyes, and one day it would be a set of flowers, an image of flowers. And what they discovered was that on the days that people thought they saw these eyes watching them, mm-hmm. they deposited twice as much money or more money into the pot for coffee on than the days that they didn't feel they were being observed, uh-huh. that they were totally unaware.
Yeah.
But we pick up these messages and signals, and we do things, we operate for reasons that we're not aware of a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way of looking at what he calls System 1 and System 2. And, you know, we can't switch System 1 off. It just doesn't click off. And we tend to back away from hard thinking, he says. So, you know, and we make a lot of mistakes because we're very good, Kahneman says, at seeing how other people make errors in their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We're very bad at seeing how we make our own errors. We're very susceptible to thinking errors, but we don't recognize it in ourselves, and that's something they call bias blind spot. And you can think of bad bosses, for instance, or smart people you know who make bad mistakes. But, you know, we've all had bosses who don't really want to hear from other people. They believe they know the answer. They're smart people. They've done well. They assume they've done well because they're smart. But often they're wrong, but they're biased in their view. So, you know, this is kind of a background for some of Kahneman's. I mean, when I read this book, I started walking around and felt as though everything that I tend to take for granted, I could no longer take for granted about mm-hmm. how I think. Recently, Kahneman has turned his attention to the study of human well-being, and which involves our evaluations of pleasure and pain.
Mm-hmm.
And this gets pretty interesting.
Which, of course, is your tie-in earlier to your book, What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life? Is that people then are making choices to move beyond from the, whatever it was they had prior experienced.
Exactly. And, you know, we tend to, the thing that really is interesting to me is what Kahneman says is we evaluate our experiences, and how we evaluate our past experiences often determines the choices we make mm-hmm. in the future.
You bet.
That we tend to make assessments of our past experience not by how the experience felt while we were in it, but by how it felt near the end of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that's really, so they did an experiment that he designed with a Toronto doctor in which involved colonoscopies in a time before there were drugs that induced some amnesia. But at this time, so that they had a patient who they, two patients, and the patients were told to indicate the level of pain every 60 seconds that they felt during the procedure. One patient procedure lasted 8 minutes, and he experienced pain, sharp pain, a couple times, and then the procedure ended. The other patient's procedure lasted 24 minutes, three times as long.
Mm-hmm.
He experienced more pain over time than patient A. So patient B experienced more, but because they allowed more time near the end of the experience, of the procedure, when there wasn't as much pain and the ending wasn't as abrupt, when they asked them to assess their experiences, the patient whose experience was longer assessed it as a better experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he remembered, mm-hmm. and this is where memory, what he remembered was what was closest to the end of the experience. So duration of the experience has no bearing on how we assess something. Now that sounds a little complicated, but if you think about it, so in, you know, things that people go through hardship in their lives, and then they tell these stories about their lives, and they say, well, it wasn't really so bad. I went through the depression,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it wasn't so bad. I went through this recession, and it wasn't so bad. Well, that may be true for someone who goes through the recession and near the end of the recession for a period gets a job, is making some money, starts to do okay, and so, but for the person, say, who doesn't have a job right up to the end, their view is different. And, you know, it accounts a little for why people can have, you know, we can live in the same moment as other people and really have a different experience of it. And I think one of the things that I've learned from this book is, you know, and Kahneman says that he designed the book, he wrote the book in part so that people were more, for people who stand around the water cooler in the office and talk about their judgments and decisions, to give perspective and a language to people to use as they talk about things, and to see that the world is really more complex, and the way in which we individually operate in it is more complex than we imagine. Another experiment that they did was called the cold hand study, which is really amazing. So they took people and they told them, we're going to do three tests on you. The first one was to stick your hand in cold water, ice cold water, for 60 seconds. And the next one, the person's hand in water for 90 seconds. And then they said, so for the third, you get to choose which one you want, the 60 second or the 90 mm-hmm. second. And what did people choose? They chose the having their hand stuck in water for 90 seconds.
Really? Interesting.
Why? Because when your hand is in ice water for 90 seconds, the water heats up a little from your hand being in the water
for
90 seconds.
The time, yeah.
So the latter part of the experience was better than the first 60 seconds.
The shock of it, yeah.
So what they remembered, what the mind remembered, was the better ending. And so they chose that, even though the duration was longer.
And, you know, this kind of a thoughtfulness call comes back to how much of who we are is based on the stories that we tell. And particularly if we are retelling our stories, and interestingly how suddenly we only remember or we only bring forward the positive things or the things that move us forward. Now, in the case of the people featured in your book, in some regard, that adds to their resiliency. It allowed them to open new doors. But the other side of it is we could be leaving behind some really important things that otherwise we should be reflecting on, right?
Absolutely. I mean, take divorce, for example. People often, you know, when they talk about their marriage, they have a horrible experience at the end. Someone discovers they're betrayed. The marriage ends abruptly. They've had 25 great years preceding that. And the way in which they recall the marriage, though, is conditioned by the way it ended. And people do that all the time. And when they, you know, they talk about a job ends badly, mm-hmm. and they say, I'm never going to go back and do that kind of work. I hate it. Well, actually, they may have enjoyed the work, a lot of it. But, and so you can kind of see how that then might condition how you make choices in the future. And rather than really taking time to think slowly, essentially, about what actually went on.
I think you'd also be telling us here that at the end of the day, that this experiencing self may not have a sustainable voice as much as what the memory self does near the end of the experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That a story is about significant events and memorable moments, not time passing. While duration is normal in a story, the ending is often mm-hmm. what defines the character.
Sure.
So that, you know, there are just these core principles. So another experiment that he did, that he talks about, and this all goes to how we're so invested in our memory. Rather, and I was thinking about this a lot because, you know, very often we forget to experience where we are. And one of the experiments that they did was, so they said to people, you get to go on a vacation. And it's going to be a fabulous vacation. You're going to get to do all kinds of things. But at the end of the vacation, we're going to destroy all videos and all pictures taken. And we're going to give you a drug. And we're going to remove your memory of the trip. Would you go on that trip again? Would you select to go on that vacation again? Well, people said no, a lot of them.
Wow.
Why? Because we live our lives we unconsciously live our lives towards what we think we're going to remember. Are we busy constructing our memory, but we often plan our lives based on the way we want to compose the story of our life. We want to be the hero of our life and we want to compose. Rather than actually composing our lives around how we want to experience our lives.
That's beautifully said. In fact, Bruce, you know, if you think about the amount of time people go on vacation and now with digital cameras and videos spend so much time behind the camera observing that through the square as opposed to really experiencing the total picture.
Well, yeah, I mean, how many times, I'm guilty of this too as a dad when my kids were young,
yeah.
You know, how much time was I running around taking pictures and not just standing there watching my children and being there with them and being present with them.
And I think that's a beautiful way to wrap our segment up with that idea. What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life is Bruce Frankel's book. You can learn more about his writing, his work, his contributions at brucefrankel.com. And also just think about that today as we're creating memories in the experience of the moment. Bruce, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thank you very much, Laura. Have a great day.
You bet. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877 844-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.